And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Are you cheering the demise, Shane, of the Cade curse lives on? Justin Fields, five-star freshman, leaving Georgia. What were your immediate thoughts when you heard this?
I was not surprised. I don't think it's about the situation down there, the quarterback situation. I think this more has to do with just the pressure, you know? A lot was on him during that SEC championship game when he came out there. And obviously, Fromm may stick around for a while. Fields wasn't getting enough playing time. So it sucks. Yeah, it sucks for Georgia. I know that because it's nice having somebody like Fields backing up your quarterback. But, this kid's getting older. Another year burnt. So it's probably time for him to move on. So I'm not really surprised here. Are you?
Yeah, Shane, actually, I'm pretty shocked. What? Maybe shocked is the wrong word because, you know, like I put it out there as soon as this news came out, this is something that you and I have been hitting on for the last couple weeks because I got wind of this a little while ago. But I'm trying to figure out what in the hell he was thinking signing with Georgia. When you look at it like this, Shane, some of his other finalists, I'm going to try to recall from memory here, but I know Florida was an option.
Mm-hmm.
I know Florida State was an option. I know Texas A&M got in there a little bit. And, of course, mm-hmm. Penn State, where he was committed for quite a while. And if you want to run down Penn State, Florida State, and keep in mind Florida didn't go after Emory Jones until they knew they weren't getting this guy, he would be the starter at all of those schools. And he goes and signs with Georgia. I just don't understand what in the hell he's thinking. Because you assume, or at least I did, when he signed with Georgia, you know, we all know what Jake Fromm did. Maybe he didn't feel that Jake Fromm would progress, but, you know, that was the stunner. It was like, why in the hell are you signing there? You know, I think they portrayed it as he's just this ultra competitive guy and he wants to, you know, help the program and that, you know, you got to have depth, especially at that position. And now 11, 12 months later, he's leaving. That's what I don't understand, Shane. This makes no sense to me. It's almost like he just thought he was going to supplant Jake Fromm. How did he go from ultra competitive to now he's just like, well, the hell with this, I'm leaving. This is just a very confusing situation for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to remember where this is coming from. Justin Fields was portrayed as the greatest quarterback recruit coming out by some, you know.
Right.
He's from the state of Georgia, isn't he?
He is. He's from Harrison, Georgia.
So, I mean, that may be a factor there. You got to think there's family members, there's friends. They're all wanting him to stay home. And, you know, that could have been in play. But, again, Justin Fields he was great in high school. So, anything that he did, he excelled at it. So why would college be any different? So maybe in his mind, he says, you know what? I'm going to go there. I'm going to beat all these guys, and I'm going to be a starting quarterback at the University of Georgia. And obviously, it didn't play out that way. So maybe he's just ready to pack his bags and go and take maybe, you know, because it ain't working. Fromm's going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this, Shane. How much of his decision to leave do you think this is due to the fact how Georgia used him? You know, I don't know how much blame you want to put on Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney, but mm-hmm. I guess that's kind of my question to you because it did seem like, you know, I think you and I have both been really high on Jake Fromm on here. I don't think it's a stretch to say that, you know, we questioned why in the hell Jake Fromm didn't get named second team all SEC quarterback. So
yeah,
it's safe to assume we both think he's probably the SEC's second best quarterback. But at the same time, you know, not that Jake Fromm should have really been taken off the field, but whenever Justin Fields came out, I mean, I want to say 99 out of 100 times, I don't know, it wasn't that many, but 9 out of 10, let's say, he was just running some stupid, you know, zone read, or he just some keeper, like, it was screaming obvious what they were doing. They never let him throw the ball. What in the hell were they doing when they put him out there? Do you think that plays any issue to why he may be transferring here?
I do, because he never really got the chance to shine, you know? I mean, here's a guy that, you can be great at practice, Mike. You can be the best practicer in the world, but it's game time situations that make you a better quarterback, and he wasn't getting those opportunities. So is he going to sit out another year doing the same thing, just coming in 3 or 4 times a game to hand the ball off? I mean, that's not helping him develop as a quarterback. So I think this is more about, you know, just Justin Fields doing what he thinks best for him.
All right, Shane, I'm going to play this little clip, and then we'll discuss. This is Justin Fields walking off the field after Georgia whipped the hell out of South Carolina, 41-17. And I know this was back in September, but when you see stuff like this, you hear stuff like this, it kind of makes sense why he was so frustrated. So listen carefully. This is not great audio, but this is the only feed I've got of it. So I'm going to play this, and then we'll discuss it. All right, Shane. Yeah, like I said, that was probably tough to hear. But for anyone that didn't catch it, this is exactly what Justin Fields had to say walking off the field after Georgia whipped the hell out of South Carolina. I handed the ball off good as fuck. I didn't do shit, bro. And I mean, that's kind of funny, but it's at the same time, it's like your team. And keep in mind, Shane, for those that, you know, back in September may seem like a lifetime ago following the SEC season, but there were plenty of people, not us, but plenty of people picking South Carolina to beat Georgia. Yeah. Georgia goes in there, beats the shit out of them. That was a huge win. That was the biggest win of the season up to that point in the SEC. And here Justin Fields is complaining about his contribution in the game. I think that kind of says it all about him.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do, Mike? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You want to be a quarterback. You want to be the starting quarterback. And then you come in, even in the blowouts, he never got the opportunity to do this. So, I mean, I'd be frustrated too. I mean, I'm a team player, but when it starts, I mean, it's starting to cut in. I mean, you're only in college so long. You only got so many opportunities to showcase yourself to the next level. So, I don't blame him for being upset over this, but what I don't like is just the song and dance we got all off season and at the start of the season that this could be a 50-50 thing and you just don't know what's going to happen. They may be rotating quarterbacks. I personally don't like two quarterback systems, but I just think that's, he got his hopes up and maybe he was, you know, being sold that by the coaches or something, you know?
Now, what are your thoughts on this, Shane? Apparently, Justin Fields is going to apply for a waiver to be eligible immediately. There's no real information out there on what his case would be or why he would think that he's qualified for this waiver. There's been some speculation that, it was a Georgia baseball player who was obviously just in the stands of one of their games yelling the N-word at Justin. I don't know if he was like specifically yelling it at Justin Fields or if he was just yelling it at, you know, the bench, the coaching staff, what have you. Mm-hmm. There's been speculation that because of that, Justin Fields is going to try to get a waiver from the NCAA. I don't understand the logic there, but I don't really know the specifics. And like I said, that's pure speculation. So there may be another reason, but like you noted, he's from Georgia. And if he goes somewhere, the Ohio State, Oklahoma, those are some of the schools that have been thrown out there. He's hired Thomas Mars, for anyone that doesn't know that name. He's a very powerful attorney. He's a guy that represented all those Ole Miss players that left last year. They were willing to sue the NCAA for immediate eligibility, and they got it. This is also the guy that represented Houston Nutt that helped bring down Hugh Freeze and found the hooker call. So this guy knows his shit. Thoughts on Justin Fields getting a high-powered attorney, and it looks like he's going to fight for his right to be able to play immediately next season.
Ah, man, kind of torn on this one, Mike, because he's played just about every game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not like he was just rolled out, you know, five or six games. He got some active play just about every game. You know, the guy that came out with the stupid ass comments got removed from the team. Mm-hmm. He got punished for what he said, which is, you know, he should have got kicked out of the university, if you ask me. But to say that that's the reason that he should be eligible to play feels like an excuse, in my opinion. I'm not down there. I'm not involved. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes with Georgia. But just reading the fine print, it feels like he got a little bit of something to help him win this case. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely, Shane. And one added layer to this whole deal, Justin Fields' sister, I don't have her name in front of me. I'm not sure what her name is, but she recently signed at Georgia to play softball. Mm-hmm. And that was well after this incident. So you would imagine, like you said, we don't want to like speculate for what he's experiencing or his time in Athens there, but you would assume he would be telling his sister, you know, if he feels endangered or not safe, you certainly would imagine he'd convey that to his sister and say not to sign here. And that obviously isn't what happened. So it's going to be even that much tougher to argue that point, I would think, Shane. But like you said, maybe this is not the reason he's thinking he deserves an immediate eligibility. Maybe he was lied to during his recruitment. That's actually something that the Ole Miss players, that's kind of why they hired this attorney, because they felt they were misled, but that was misled in regards to NCAA violations. Maybe Georgia, again, I'm making a huge leap here, but maybe there was some NCAA violations broken by Georgia. Maybe that'll be his reason. I have no idea, but kind of like you're saying, you know, some idiot mouthing off and getting thrown off the team. I can't imagine NCAA is going to be like, well, that's reason to let this guy play. That just doesn't add up to me, but maybe I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have a whole list of reasons why he should be eligible to play. But like you said, his sister came up there after this incident. So I don't know. I think this is just maybe somebody took a little piece of a big article, and this is what they're running with. But I don't know. We're going to find out. And let me ask you something real quick. You were talking about NCAA violations. I mean, this staff had talked about using him a little bit. What if he does have proof that, you know, that coach says, hey, you get up here, you can, you're guaranteed all this playing time. I mean, does that matter? I mean, can that hold any leverage in court?
I wouldn't think so, because Butch Jones would be fucked right now. I can tell you that right now. But
maybe we're just reading it. Maybe we'll just let this thing play out and see what happens. But he does got a big time lawyer, like you said. And usually when you get big names involved like that, you know, I mean, you got to think, if there is a slightest NCAA violation, well, Georgia's going to want to let him play immediately. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to get drug in court and all their dirty laundry aired out. So this may be one of those things that, yeah, it happens real quick. And maybe there's a few phone calls or something, you know?
And what's interesting, Shane, so Justin Fields, obviously number one quarterback by a lot of recruiting rankings in the previous 2018 recruiting cycle. Georgia also signed the number one tight end of the nation during that recruiting cycle, Luke Ford, also a true freshman. And he is not on Georgia's campus, Shane. He's back home in Illinois. And I thought it was pretty funny because I tweeted some of this information out when I got it. I think it was Monday morning. And a bunch of dog fans came back at me with fake news. He's coming back. He's coming. Like, I guess they were thinking that this guy's getting Christmas off and no one else is. I don't know. But his name has appeared in the transfer portal, the NCAA transfer portal, as has Justin Fields. And what that it means, Shane, that does not mean that he's not coming back. That is true. But what it means is all schools around the nation are free to contact them and discuss potential transfer. So you don't put your name in that thing unless you're at least considering it. And the fact that he's not there for a bowl, you know, the start of bowl practice here for the Sugar Bowl. It sounds like Georgia's losing their top tight end recruit as well.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But I think they got one coming in this next class, don't they?
Yeah, Georgia's always – that's one damn thing Georgia always gets is tight ends. They clean up on tight ends in the recruiting trail.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. I'm an idiot, so I don't know exactly how this works. So there's this transfer portal, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is
a new thing. This is the first year of it.
Is it open? I mean, is it open to the public? Can I just jump on there and see if my balls are going to
– Only the schools themselves can access this.
Okay, and one other quick question. Is it a violation – if they're not in that portal yet for another coach or staff member of a different university to be recruiting while they're on the campus? Like let's just say a different coach be calling Justin Fields, like maybe after that South Carolina game, say, hey man, if you transfer, you'd be starting over here. Is that legal?
That's illegal. That's okay. Basically why they've instituted this portal. Mm-hmm. So that this makes it very, open to all the institutions. There's no, you don't have to conceal anything. You don't have to know. And that's kind of the point of it is, there may be some guy thinking about transferring and he needs information, Justin Fields, this is an extreme case because everybody wants him, but maybe he thinks he can go to Ohio State, but Ohio State has no interest in him. You know what I mean? So
Okay. That's
why it's there, so that he can put his name in there, and then anyone interested can speak to him, and it's not breaking the rules, and he can, figure out if any of those schools are a fit, and if so, he can leave. But if none of them are a fit, he can pull his name out and say, I'm sticking with Georgia.
Okay, so even if you go on this transfer portal, you still can come back to the university.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, all right. So there's still a chance that – I'm not saying that they will, but there's still a chance that they could retain Fields and Ford here. I mean, there's a a slim chance, but
– there's absolutely – that could happen. These are still only 1 year removed from the recruiting, Shane, and both these guys, like I said, Justin Fields committed to Penn State – Luke Ford was committed to Arkansas, so they broke their commitments there. And I don't want to make any too bold of statements here because I understand commitments and decommitments and whatnot. But it is funny that I remember reading something last year. Basically, every five-star quarterback that's ever decommitted after committing has never finished at his original school.
Okay.
So that's something to think about. That's pretty wild. So commitment issues, I think, from some people here.
How many times do you think Morris has called Ford already? Oh, he's going too tight end next year.
All right, shall we spend a lot of time on Georgia?
Okay.
Let's jump to Alabama, where, Nick Saban recently had a press conference to, open talks on the Orange Bowl for the upcoming Oklahoma game, and the playoff game there, and there was really not a whole lot worth sharing from this. It was pretty boring. He was asked about Tua, obviously, and here's what he said. Tua's doing well. He's probably ahead of schedule, but at the same time, Shane, when I hear, I'm trying not to bash Saban here, but he seems like he's full of shit whenever he's saying injury stuff, particularly when it comes with Tua. Because all damn year he tells us Tua's fine, Tua's fine. And it seems like every game Tua's limping off the field.
Yeah.
Tua obviously got hurt. And now he's ahead of schedule, even though, it's been 2 weeks since he said he would be back. And I don't think he's back to 100%. He's still getting questioned about it. So I don't know how much I read into that, Shane. Did you have any other takeaways from what Nick Saban had to say there?
No, never believe a coach when it's about injuries, man.
Well, how about this one, Shane? So this is kind of outside of obviously what Nick Saban had to say, but this came on ESPN's morning show, Get Up. Ryan Clark, who the former Pittsburgh Steeler who played for Nick Saban at LSU, he's something we hit on already as well, Shane. Nick Saban to Green Bay. Let's play this clip and then we'll discuss it.
You know, if you're Green Bay right now, you sell the form. You sell the form. You send everybody to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and you try to get Nick Saban to leave Alabama and become the coach. When you look at quarterback coach relationships, Sean Payton, and Drew Brees, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. There's mutual respect and accountability there. There's no one who can hold Aaron Rodgers more accountable than Nick Saban. If he asks for $10 million, you give it to him. Nothing left to prove in Tuscaloosa. He's the guy you need.
And it should be reminded, in case you don't know, that Ryan played for Nick Saban at LSU, so you know him. Do you think there's any chance he does that? Any chance he goes to the NFL?
I wouldn't leave a school that put a statue up while I was alive either. But for Nick Saban, there's nothing else to prove there. It's time to take on another challenge, and this is a guy who loves challenges. You have an all-time great quarterback. Why not go get the all-time greatest coach in college football history?
If you want, I love it. I mean, I don't expect it to happen, but as a concept, I totally understand what you're saying, and I love it.
All right, Shane, it seems like a lot of these people are about 2 weeks behind all our podcast information. What are your thoughts on old Ryan Clark saying, you know, Green Bay's got nothing to lose, just going all in for Nick Saban?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know what? Old Chucky would have been good at Tennessee. I guess we all got a wish list, you know? You know, why not? I don't understand why you wouldn't at least attempt. And he made some good points. I mean, you got to remember Ryan's – I mean, he played for Nick. And, you know, he brought up the fact that he's extremely competitive. And if you remember when we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, I mean, I get it. Nick has done so great at LSU. He's done so extremely great at Alabama. Does he have anything to prove? Maybe. I mean, maybe he's proven – I mean, he's already set the bar as one of, if not the greatest college football coach ever. I mean, he has a chance to make it not even a question. You know what I'm saying? Right. If they came away with two or three more national championships while he's there, I mean, could you just imagine? Nobody can touch that. I just don't see it ever happening. But I do think that he does, maybe one sleepless night a year, he thinks about Miami and what he could have done there. And, so, yeah, does he have the itch? We're about to find out, but I can't see him leaving what he's got going down there. Do you?
No, I don't think so, but like you hit on there, you know, the thing that didn't work at Miami, obviously, was he never had a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Green Bay entrenched starter there in Aaron Rodgers, and I will throw this out there as well, Shane. This comes via Andrew Brandt of Sports Illustrated. He worked up in Green Bay for about a decade, maybe a little bit longer. He knows that place better than anyone in the media. And according to him, you know, there was a lot of shock when Green Bay fired Mike McCarthy in the middle of the year. A lot of NFL people said that was kind of the wrong thing to do. According to Andrew Brandt, the reason that was done was because Green Bay wanted to pursue a college coach, and they wanted to interview, or I don't know if any interview is the right word, but reach out to these college, whoever their target is, before he got into bowl prep, so the timeline works out here. So that's what he's saying. Their top target's a college guy. He did not name who that was, but I mean, it fits. I don't think that's Nick Saban that he was referring to, but I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, man, shoot for it, man. Shoot for it. I'd love to see it, you know, because, I mean, it'd be a lot easier for Tennessee if Saban went down. It'd be a lot easier on a lot of these schools if Saban went down there, Bama. So I'm sure there's a lot of people supporting this. So I just don't ever see it happening, though.
All right, Shane, let's kick over to Nashville. Let's go to Vanderbilt. We don't get to talk a lot of Commodores football, but something pretty interesting happened recently for the Commodores. They landed a graduate transfer quarterback by the name of Riley Neal. And for anyone not familiar with him, he's been the starting quarterback at Ball State for the last 3 years, Shane. So this is a guy that, you know, Ball State, obviously not at the SEC level, but that's still major college football. He's been starting for 3 years. This is a 6 foot, 217-pound guy. I mean, he's built for the SEC. He got banged up this year, only played 9 games. I think that's kind of part of the reason he's leaving. But, you know, threw 11 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, almost 2,000 yards passing in only 9 games there. Started 32 games overall. How big potentially is it? It sounds like they've not guaranteed him to be the starter, but of course Kyle Shurmur, Vanderbilt's quarterback, I think he's been the quarterback for damn 20 years, it seems like, but he's leaving. He's finally got his doctorate and his master's degree and all that from Vanderbilt. What are your thoughts on, you know, Vanderbilt getting a quarterback that could be their guy next year?
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it because he does have experience. He's an older guy, you know. I mean, I think they've only got two quarterbacks at Vandy. Deuce Wallace is a redshirt sophomore and Alan Walters, true freshman. So, I mean, they got some young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little, you know, a little seasoned vet there in the locker room won't hurt. At least he'll push these younger guys to compete. So we saw this at Tennessee when we got what's his name? I really think that helped Garantano be a better quarterback. Just the fact that there's a guy that, you know, if he's got a question, he can go ask, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Vanderbilt runs a system, you know, it's pretty complicated offense. They ask a lot of their quarterbacks. So I don't think you can really turn that over to, you know, say a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. That'd be just a really tough ask. So getting a guy like this makes a lot of sense for the Commodores, and it could ease that transition to next season when you're obviously not going to have Shurmur. So I don't know. I think this could be a really underrated pickup that's kind of gone under the radar this week in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah.
How about this news, Shane? Let's jump to Kentucky, where this is kind of some bad news here, but senior linebacker Jordan Jones, his career is over. Kentucky has announced he will not play in the Citrus Bowl against Penn State. They didn't give a specific reason, but I've heard it was academics. I don't know. I guess I'm not really sure how that's possible, because I would think the semesters are done. But for whatever reason, one of Kentucky's starting linebackers out for the Citrus Bowl. How big is that for Kentucky?
Makes you wonder what happened. I mean, I mean, how do you fail out? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just there must be something going on here that we don't know about, because
cover I think up.
This, yeah, I mean, it just does. I don't think I've ever heard. Name the last player you heard that got kicked out for grades.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know that he's getting kicked out, but I don't think he's eligible for this game for whatever reason. And obviously him being a senior, that does mean he's done. Yeah. I've heard it with like freshmen and sophomores. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought he was a junior. My bad. Okay, so he was a senior.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on there, but you'd think it was such a huge game here for Kentucky. We've kind of went on about that and what it would mean. It'd be only the third time in 112 years of football Kentucky could win 10 or more games. So, I mean, this is huge. This is gonna be a huge bowl game. And it just sucks that one of their senior leaders is not going to be able to experience it.
I know. He got in trouble for spitting at practice or something. So apparently he's a rebel.
Okay, Shane, let's, minor news here from Knoxville. But old Tanner Antinui, the true freshman lineman, his career is over, unfortunately. He never got to play for the Vols. I think he got hurt in the summer, or maybe it was during the training camp, and I think it was like bulging discs or something. But I thought it was pretty neat. I saw some comments where Jeremy Pruitt is going to let him stay on. He's going to be a coach, Shane. They're keeping him on scholarship, so it's good news for him. He doesn't count against the team scholarship count, but he gets to stay in school free, you know, full ride. And I don't know. I mean, it obviously sucks that his career's over, but it looks like Tennessee's doing him right here.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So he's pulling old Kiffin, isn't he? You know, just went to. I like it. And, you know, he's a Tennessee boy. He's from Nashville. So maybe that could help us with some of the Nashville recruits.
And the only other nugget I've got here, Shane, on Tennessee, this is potentially devastating, I think. Maybe you don't. I just want to get your thoughts on it. But the head strength and conditioning coach, Craig Fitzgerald, the damn wild man, you know, it sounds like he may be going to Maryland, Shane. He may get stolen away. He's the second highest paid strength coach in the nation. So you may wonder, you know, why in the hell would he go to Maryland? Well, I believe he went to Maryland. He's pretty tight with Mike Locksley, from what I understand, their new head coach. and just a lot of ties up there. And I don't know if they can pay him like Tennessee. I would imagine Tennessee will do what it takes to keep him, but I'm not saying he's left, but the, you know, rumor has it he's basically 50-50 on to go or stay. How big would that be if Tennessee lost Craig Fitzgerald?
Oh, man, that'd be huge, brother. I mean, a lot of people that don't follow Tennessee don't realize just how blessed we were with the injuries this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had them just like every other team, but coming off the last two, 3 years that we've dealt with, it was night and day. It was instant change, and a lot of that's to credit, I think, to Fitz here. So, and that's one thing, Coach Pruitt, he knows. I mean, he came down there from Bama. He knows what it takes to have a great team, and it all starts in the locker room, in the off season, you know, getting these guys prepared for football. And because they're the only ones that have really any contact during the summer.
If for people that don't understand really, I guess, what goes on during the offseason, basically this guy is the head coach because they're not allowed to get to be, you know, coached up by the coaching staff for several months of the season. I mean, these guys are in charge of all the players during the offseason, more or less, you know, outside of spring football, obviously. And if he were to leave, I believe Tennessee would be on their fifth strength coach in 5 seasons. And that's why I think it's devastating. Not, you know, coaches are replaceable. Strength coaches are replaceable. So I'm not suggesting that this is like some damn wonder guy who simply can't be replaced. But Tennessee, more than, you know, outside of obviously the head coach, but they need some continuity with that strength coach. And yeah. I think that's why they gave him so much money and such a lengthy deal. I think it was a 3 or 4 year deal because they really wanted to lock this guy down for at least that long. And I think if he stays, it's because of that, because I understand he probably knows what he's walking into, or maybe he didn't know what he was walking into when he came, but, you know, to get a full grasp of how dire the situation is and his commitment level to it, they redid the entire weight room for people that don't know. They did it to his specifications. You know, I'm not going to say, like, I'm not going to try to bury the guy if he leaves, because I don't blame anyone for going somewhere if their heart's not in it or if they're getting more money. I mean, that's why this is America, you know. But
right.
Outside of that, if he stays for those reasons to kind of be a stabilizing force for Tennessee, I think his stock will go up, and it's already incredibly high. But in my book, his stock will go up even higher.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's. And I think if he's wanting to do something else, I think he's got a better shot being in Knoxville. Like you said, they've got ton of – the first thing that Pruitt did was fix that locker room or the weight room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they invested a lot of money in this guy, and because that's what Pruitt knows that he needs. So that'd be a huge hit, brother, and I hope he doesn't go. Because, I mean, you're going to Maryland. I mean, what kind of – you know what I'm saying? It's not like there's – They're killing it in the whatever division they're in.
Yeah, they're them and Rutgers, I guess, are two worst teams in that division, I think. So, I don't know. It's not like he's ever going to compete for anything there, but I guess maybe closer to home.
Yeah.
Let's jump to Gainesville, where this is something that we hit on the previous podcast, but I thought this was interesting. Scott Van Pelt commented on UCF turning down or essentially not agreeing to the 2-for-1 Florida deal.
Anybody, anywhere, anytime. That was the essence of Pat Hill's Fresno State mantra back in the day. And I think UCF should embrace that idea regarding the Florida offer of a 2-for-1 series, meaning 2 games in Gainesville and 1 in Orlando. The Orlando Sentinel obtained the email exchange between the school's athletic directors, and UCF AD Danny White complained about the offer, saying, quote, requiring non-autonomy 5 schools to have to settle for inequitable scheduling seems like an unfair business practice, close quote. Yep, but it's an offer and it's on the table. You don't have to take it, but you ought to. I read many UCF fans ripping the audacity of the Florida offer because of where the Gators are currently ranked or their current record, which conveniently ignores that in 2015, UCF didn't win a game. Now you get to look down your noses at a team that won national titles in 2006 and 2008 on the field because you've got a winning streak? Come on, be reasonable. But hey, They're so lousy, even better for you. Take the trip to the swamp, kick their ass, then come home for your game, then go on the road and do it again. I just don't see the downside. Attendance in the swamp has been sliding a bit. Take as many fans as you can. Take over the joint, win the game, sell your recruits who Florida probably didn't offer that you get to go to the swamp twice and show the Gators what they missed out on. Also, if you maintain this level of accomplishment and remain in the playoff conversation, do multiple trips to Gainesville help or hurt your perception? I don't see how passing on the offer because you think you're on equal footing to demand a home and home or nothing advances your cause. White says he feels his program has graduated from that. I understand they're red hot. If you think you don't have to accept, then don't. But in the grand scheme of a growing program, I really think they should.
I just thought that was particularly interesting because obviously Scott Van Pelt, not an SEC guy. It's funny that we were talking Maryland, Shane. He's a Maryland graduate. So thoughts on a guy that's obviously, I would not say SEC biased at all, having these thoughts on the UCF-Florida two-for-one deal.
Yeah, I think he's right, man. I think he hit the nail on the head here. You got to, if you're at that smaller division, you've got to come up and play the big boys. And you got to do it on their terms. And if maybe you get beat. Who cares, you know? Even if you can hang in there with them, you know, make it a competitive game, then people start, you know, then you may be able to start looking at one for ones and things like that. So, I mean, it was a excellent opportunity to showcase what they got going down there, and it would have been perfect. I would have loved to have seen these guys play. I don't think UCF would have won, but if they could have hung in there with the Gators, and then who knows, next year go down there and they got the home field advantage. I mean, you just never know. Crazy things happen all the time, and all it takes is one or two upsets, and then next thing you know, you're being brought up to the bigs.
Yeah, and just, you know, my final thoughts on this, Shane, UCF, you know, we kind of like to poke fun at them, and a lot of people do, and I definitely understand. I mean, I respect what they've done on the field. It's very impressive, but I just think their shenanigans with their national championship claims and just how insane some of their people are. But This would have been a chance, and I guess they still have a chance to accept it, but I don't think they will. This is a chance to just shut everyone up and just say, you know, prove that you're as good as you are. And I can't imagine why in the hell they're not taking it, because they're not going to get a better deal. Like I noted on the previous podcast, I can't think of a single SEC team at this point that's going to offer them this two-for-one deal. And I don't even know why Florida's doing it, but I think they should take it while it's on the table.
Yeah, I do too, man.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Columbia, Missouri, where we got a little bit of news here, Shane. This is starting to come in the damn quarterback you up there. I guess everybody wants to play for Dooley. But former TCU quarterback Sean Robinson, who announced, you know, he was transferring, I think, 2 weeks ago or so. He announced Tuesday evening, late Tuesday, that he is going to go to Missouri. And this is not a guy that necessarily like tore it up at TCU by any means, but you know, I never watched him play, but I know I looked him up. He was an Elite 11 finalist 1 year, so you know, one of the top 20 quarterbacks. Yeah. And I just wanted to get your thoughts, Shane, coming off the Drew Locke era. Now they land a commitment from Kelly Bryant a couple weeks ago. Now they're getting this Sean Robinson, so he'll have to sit out this year, but that'll obviously be the Kelly Bryant year, and then they'll potentially have this guy in 2020. But what the hell's going on in Missouri that they're getting every quarterback?
Man, they're creating a little. I joked about it a couple weeks ago, just like a poor man's Bama. You know, they keep bringing these transfers in. So you're right. They lose one of the best quarterbacks. Some people have even argued the best quarterback in the SEC this year, but they replace it with, some were saying, the best quarterback in the ACC. And now you got this guy coming in, Sean Robinson, which was, you know, 24/7 had him as the sixth best dual quarterback when he came into TCU. So, I mean, this is the way you do it, man. You know, you created something. You created a buzz in Missouri that this is, everybody uses these words like quarterback U or wide receiver U, but if you can keep creating this machine here and keep bringing these guys in, I mean, can you imagine? You have a great quarterback, you're in just about every ball game. So I don't know how great Sean's going to be, I think it's kind of interesting that they're bringing in a dual threat quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he wants to come play with you, absolutely, come on up.
It's that Dooley effect, man. Everybody wants to play for him.
I love it, man.
Okay, Shane, final note I have around the league here. On Tuesday, South Carolina had extended the they gave raises. I don't know if it's extensions, mm-hmm. but they did give an extension to Will Muschamp for 1 year. So his deal runs to 2024 now. But Brian McClendon, the offensive coordinator, and Dan Warner, the quarterback coach, they both get big raises. Yeah. There were, you know, speculation that McClendon was getting some head coaching looks. I know there's speculation that Tennessee tried to potentially look at him as an offensive coordinator, and Dan Warner, there was speculation that Ole Miss wanted to hire him as offensive coordinator. So, you know, South Carolina's getting rolling here on offense. It was kind of big for them to get these guys. Just thoughts on South Carolina keeping this offensive staff together for at least another year.
Oh, that's huge, man. That's huge because – like you said, it's extreme continuity here. These guys don't have – I mean, they're going to have the same coaches next year. So I think that's big. I think that's one of the most underrated parts of college football. You know, we talk about some of these other teams like Kirby's defense or Saban's defense. And, I mean, they pretty much stay the same, mm-hmm. you know. But a lot of these other schools, they go from – one extreme to another. They go from an RPO to a pro style, and some, I mean, that it takes a while. It takes a while to learn your offense. There's different ways you got to block in a zone and, you know, just straightforward. And so I think just keeping the staff together is very important for South Carolina. And who knows, maybe they can make a push next year.
All right, Shane, final thing I got on South Carolina. The only reason I bring this up, because obviously, when this podcast comes out, it's the first day of the early signing period. We're about to jump into a lot of recruiting talk here. But mm-hmm. on Monday, Ja'Kai Moore from Virginia made himself a pretty little interesting commitment, Shane. This is a new one for me. This guy came on. He had his pullover on. He unzips it. It's got South Carolina sweater. Crowd's going crazy. Puts on South Carolina hat. He whips the hat off. He undoes the zipper. He's got Penn State on underneath. People are going wild. Then he rips that thing off, and he's got a South Carolina shirt underneath. What were your thoughts on these shenanigans?
It's creative. Creative. I like it, you know, because I've seen the double, you know, but I've never seen the triple. So that's good.
And why we bring that up, Shane, is because, like I noted there, so when this podcast hits, it'll be the early signing period, mm-hmm. and we've got quite a bit going on. We're going to have basically a full-on Friday recruiting podcast, but we got to hit on some of this stuff for you guys that, you know, I'm big into watching this stuff. I don't know if everyone at work can do it or not, but I know you're sneaking it on your computer, so don't lie. Yeah. But for those that don't have the full schedule, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2, they're going to be showing these commitments and just breaking it all down. And that's going to change to ESPNU at noon. And also, the SEC Network will be running their own at noon. So keep up for that. And we've got quite a few commitments, Shane, here. So I'm just going to run down these first seven. These are all the ones that are going to be announced on ESPN2 and ESPNU. So stay tuned for these. And these guys are all probably going to be playing in the SEC, or at least have SEC in their finalist. And we'll start with running back Noah Kane from IMG Academy. Shane, this is a four-star running back, one of the best running backs in the nation. He's going to be announcing at 11 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN2. He's down to Auburn, Georgia, Tennessee, Penn State, and Texas. Mm. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I think he just came off a visit to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I know Auburn, they really want a running back, but they got another guy coming up here on this list. I think Penn State is the favorite from what I've heard, but like I said, Tennessee got on this guy late, got him on campus during their big recruiting weekend. We'll see if that pays off.
What time is that one?
That'll be at 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
And then following that, also at 11. So I think what they'll probably do is just have these guys back to back to back to back, because we got four here listed at 11. It'll probably be between 11 and 12. You know, they'll spread them out. But they don't give exact times. Offensive lineman Devaney Hammond, he is also at 11 o'clock here on ESPN2. And the favorite there is Florida, Shane. So this is a four-star offensive lineman. He's picking between Florida and Florida State. So obviously a lot at stake there for Gator fans, because that's always worst when you're waiting for a guy to pick and it's either he's going to your school or he's going to go to a school that's going to kick your ass for 4 years. So, I mean, this is the ultimate, you know, picking here. So
it's the Cade Mays effect. Yeah, I got you.
So that'll be an interesting one. This could be a really, really good time for Florida here, because also coming up is Lloyd Summerall. That's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern as well. He's a defensive end, four-star defensive end, Shane. He's the one that, for anyone that has seen the pictures of the recruit and then his damn dad's wearing the Florida gear.
Oh, yeah.
That's this guy. So I hope his dad shows up and does something crazy. But he's picking between Florida, Miami, and Nebraska. And Florida is the favorite here as well. So Florida could be picking up two four stars back to back on ESPN2 tomorrow, and then follow that up, Shane, with
real quick. He is bringing back the belly shirt. If you look up his name on Twitter, every school he's ever gone to, he's always got the belly shirt going on. So I like it. All right, sorry.
Four star tight end Keon Zipperer. I don't even know how to say that, but I think that's it. He's also at 11 a.m. Eastern time, and he's picking, Shane, between Alabama, Florida, and LSU. And I've heard Alabama people think he's going there, Florida people think he's going there. So there's a realistic chance, Shane, that Florida gets three four stars back to back to back here.
Golly.
And then how about this, Shane? Number one running back in the nation, Trey Sanders. He's announcing at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And he's another interesting one, because he's down to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. So all SEC three. People are really split on where he's going. Georgia's gotten a lot of momentum. They had him for an official visit recently. A lot of people think that's turned the tide there. He's going to go to the Bulldogs. But Florida's been on him for years. Alabama's been on him for a long time. A lot of people think Alabama's the favorite. But his brother goes to Florida. So that's going to be a hell of a one to watch. That could go either way.
Damn, Florida has a real shot to moving up the ranks here, don't they?
They really do. So this is basically the early signing day, the first day of it. It's going to be Florida's day, either really great or really bad, depending on how these all shake out.
Yeah.
Five-star linebacker N'Kobe Dean, Shane. This is a guy we've touched on before. He's announcing at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and basically no one's got any damn clue where this guy's going. Number one linebacker in the nation. Alabama, Georgia are the favorites. I've heard Ole Miss has made a really late charge with their new defensive coordinator. Auburn and LSU also recruiting him. Mississippi State also recruiting him. I don't think Mississippi State has a shot, but he is an in-state kid. He's from Mississippi. Most of those elite Mississippi prospects stay in-state, so there's a real chance he picks Ole Miss, but Alabama, Georgia, those seem to be the favorites, so that's going to be one to watch. Five-star offensive lineman Evan Neal, he is also announcing at 2 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN. And that the favorite there is Alabama, but the underdog's Georgia. So Alabama, Georgia, and Florida are going to be featured heavily during these televised commitments. And then we've got a couple more, Shane. The rest of these are not televised, but obviously fans will be watching. I would imagine these guys are going to be doing, you know, live ceremonies or tweeting videos or God knows what, or flipping, dipping, or
no work's getting done tomorrow, Mike. No work.
starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. I don't even know how to say this damn guy's name, but I'm going to try it. Sakai Ika, four-star defensive lineman from Utah. Sounds like he's going to go to LSU, Shane, but Florida is still in the mix, as well as a couple of West Coast schools. If he wants to go to a real school, he'll go to Florida or LSU.
Exactly.
Four-star linebacker Derek Hall, also at 9 a.m. Eastern time. He's down to Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Florida. And he's another Mississippi native, so you probably think he's probably going to stay in state, like I said, but Auburn's a real factor there. We got a four-star cornerback, Tyreek Stevenson, Shane. That's going to be at noon, and that's down to Georgia and Auburn. So that's one to watch.
Okay.
One for you, Shane. Defensive lineman Nick Figueroa at 2 o'clock Eastern time. He's picking between Tennessee and USC. Tennessee's desperate for some defensive line. This guy would be, I believe he's a junior college guy, so he could be an instant impact guy there. But that'll be one for you to watch, Shane.
I like it.
My favorite recruit name of this damn recruiting cycle, linebacker Rambo Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
He's picking at 2 o'clock. And imagine this, Shane. He's a Florida State commit.
Yeah.
He's picking between Texas A&M and Florida. So I don't know what the hell's going on there, but I don't think Florida State is a factor, even though he's committed. 4-star quarterback Radarius Jones, 2:30 Eastern time. He's down to LSU, Ole Miss, Auburn, and Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a really underrated one, Shane. This is a guy, running back DJ Williams. He was committed to Appalachian State up until recently. And check out this list of offers he's gotten in the last month, Shane. Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. As soon as he got those, he decommitted from Appalachian State. So he'll be making his announcement there at 2:30 Eastern time. And the heavy favorite is Auburn. But here's what I've heard, Shane. So obviously we touched on number one running back Trey Sanders. You know, that's a guy that Alabama, Georgia, and Florida are battling for. What people are thinking is going to happen is wherever he commits, like say he commits to Georgia, Trey Sanders, then Alabama will go full push on DJ Williams and say, hey, we got a spot for you. So I don't know. It's going to be kind of a domino effect there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are
So Tennessee doesn't even have a shot.
Tennessee does not. But I'll close with one Tennessee guy for you, Shane. This is seems like a slam dunk for the Vols, but this will not be happening until Thursday, so you have to wait an extra day. But in-state running back Eric Gray, he's going to announce on noon on Thursday, and he's a 3-time Mr. Tennessee football. So he's a hell of a prospect. So you're not going to get DJ Williams, Shane, but there's a good chance you get Eric Gray. And that's all the marquee guys that I know are announcing on Wednesday. That's going to be a hell of a group. And, you know, I think my favorite thing, Shane, about, you know, National Signing Day, this is kind of like the new National Signing Day, but my favorite day of or event of all this is just the unpredicted things that happen, because it'll happen, Shane. We saw last year Patrick Surtain Jr., you know, he was committed for LSU for damn 3 years. It seemed like it may have been 2 years, but then he flipped Alabama the damn night of it.
I mean,
that shit happens all the time. It's going to happen this year. We don't know who it's going to be, but I think that's my favorite, you know?
We'll see hats thrown. We'll see, you know, people with 5 different jackets on, you know. I love it. Do you remember the one? What was that one where the mom grabbed the paper? He said he's going somewhere, and his mom just took off with the paper, you know, the family's.
Yeah, that was old Alex Collins, the Arkansas running back. Apparently she took the papers and drove off. No one knew where to find her.
So I just hope there's plenty of drama tomorrow, and I'd love when they surprise. Like, if you got – how many times you've seen it's down to 2 teams, and they picked team 3. You didn't even see it coming. So, it's going to be exciting. I love National Signing Day.
How fired up were you last year, Shane? Do you remember old Quay Walker? He put the Tennessee hat on, and then he fucking stood up and threw it?
We talked. I threw my phone. I remember it well. That's what I was talking about when the hats are thrown. So that one cut deep. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, brother. I try not to get too attached to these guys that say, hey, I'm coming here, you know.
Right.
A lot of them just trying to get some Twitter followers. But, you know, it's awesome when they do finally send that paper over and you're like, all right, we're building something here. So I'm interested to see how tomorrow plays out.
All right, Shane, I did a lot of talking there. That's about all I got. I'm ready for this early signing day. Do you got anything before we jump off here?
Yeah, buddy, just got one thing. We got us a review to read.
All right.
All right, Mike, this one comes from Southern Bottom. Says, gets me through my morning. 5 stars. Hey, guys, just wanted to say how much I enjoy y'all's show. I get to work at 5 a.m. I'm the only one here till about 7. It's been great all season listening to you, and it helps me with my football fix. Mike and Shane have a great dynamic, and they really make me laugh. And it's great to hear what all is going on in the SEC. One thing maybe you can answer on your next podcast would be, what are your plans for the show this offseason? Thanks again, guys. So Southern Bottom, I appreciate it. I appreciate all the listeners hanging out with us today. And I appreciate the ones that got on iTunes and gave us a 5-star rating. It really does help us out a lot. But as far as scheduling, for right now, I think we're going to go 3 days a week, Mike.
Yeah, you guys are lucky that Christmas came on a Tuesday, so me and Shane can get this out on a Monday and Wednesday for you.
That's right.
But that's kind of the plan until there's just not really anything going on. We're not going to just record these just to record them. But when it's getting pretty slow, I think I'm going to start reaching out to some guests and try to get some cool guests for you guys. Maybe some. I've been talking to some coaches. They're interested in coming on, so we might be able to wrangle that up for the off season.
That'd be cool, man. Yeah, man. So I think three times a week, you know, we don't get to talk much, Mike, so it's nice to talk to you at least 3 days a week, you know. That's all I got, brother.
All right, Shane, that'll do it for this one. Thank you for joining me as always, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.